We continue our learning. Rabbi Yehoshua and Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira
testified
al almanas isa, referring to almanas isa. We'll have to see what an almanas isa. Isa means doe. Alman is a widow. Shehi kshera lekahuna, that she is permitted to marry a kohen. And what's an almanas isa? So we're speaking about a case. Isa means a doe, which means usually have a mixture of different things. So we're using the word isa to describe a woman who had been married into a family that included a safek chalal. A chalal, we need to remember, is the child of a marriage where a kohen, let's say, married a grusha, a woman who is prohibited for him to marry, although the marriage is effective, the kiddushin is chal, takes effect, nonetheless the child now is puzzled, disqualified from a kohen, cannot do the avoda. That child is called a chalal. In fact, the woman herself becomes a chalala. Here we're speaking about a case. Different ways to interpret this Mishnah, but the Almanas Yisro, well, let's speak about the following example that we have, is where a woman, let's say, was given a case of a suffolk in get and in gerish and in divorce. Let's say the husband threw the get towards her. It's questionable whether it entered within her dalat amos or not, so questionable whether she's divorced or not. And then the husband dies. So it's now, is this woman a grusha, or is she an almana? Her husband passed away, maybe she's an almana, but maybe she had been divorced because it was a kosher get, and therefore she's an almana. So what happens now? She ends up marrying a kohen. Now, had she been an almana, she can marry a kohen. She can't marry a kohen gadol, but she can marry a widow, can marry a kohen. But if she's a grusha, she's not permitted to marry a kohen. And then she marries this kohen, and they have a son. So this son is a safek chalal. It's not clear. Maybe had she been a grusha, it's a chalal. If she was an almana, it's just not a chalal. And then, after a certain period of time, a member of this family marries a woman, and then that person dies. So we want to know whether this woman, who is the new woman, is now in the picture. She is someone who married into a family where there was a suffolk chalal. Whether is she a chalala? By the fact that she married a chalal, we don't know if she married to a chalal at all, because generations before that, there may have been a chalal, may not be a chalal. So because of that, we call her, this is the almanas isa. She's the widow who's an isa like a doe. And there's a suffolk. In fact, this is a double suffolk. This is a what we call a svek sveka. Because first of all, the woman that this widow, this new widow married, the man that this widow married may not have been a chalal at all. May not have been a member of the family who even descended from this chalal. And that's suffolk number one. And suffolk number two is that the original offspring of that original marriage, where that woman was a suffolk, grusha, suffolk almana. We're not sure if there was a chalal in the family at all. So one suffolk is that maybe there was never a chalal in the family at all. And even if there was a chalal, maybe this new widow who's in the picture, who married someone, she married someone who was not even in a part of the descendants of this chalal, even had there been a chalal to begin with. So that's what we call a svek sveka, a double suffolk. And when generally we are lean when it comes to a svek sveka, and that is what Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira are testifying about. The almanas isa, she kshera lekahuna, she is permitted, since there's this double suffolk as to whether she's been disqualified from marrying a kohen. So we allow her to marry a kohen based on that svek sveka. And then the Mishnah says, Sheha Isa Kshera Latame Lotaher Lerachek Ulakarib. What does this mean? So it means Isa, we're referring to the family, where there's a potential is the suffolk color within the family. Do, referring not to the Almana, but the family itself, is Kshera, is Latame Lotaher. What does it mean? It's Kasha Latame Lotaher. If you have a family where there's a suffolk color within the family is mixed up, we're not really sure. So we assume, based on the Svek Sveka, that family is permitted to marry Kohanim. So the members of the family should do what? That's what the Mishnah means. It's Kshera Latameh. They have the right to decide, okay, let's decide who, in fact, is really Tameh, by who did did live with someone who was not, they're not permitted to live with, and such a person should be lirachek, should be distanced from the family, and ulatahir, and they have the right to decide who's pure, who does not have a problem with their lineage, and ulakarev, and they should bring those people close. So generally, we assume that the family is kosher. Since their family is kosher, they have now the responsibility to ensure that that kosher continues. And in fact, someone now marries someone that they should not. A woman marries a man who would now disqualify her from kahuna and disqualify the children. So we have to be careful of that. We have to record that, make sure that we are aware of that. But barring that, we can assume that they are, the people are tohor, the people are kosher, and lekarev, and therefore we can bring them close. Amar Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, kibalnu idoschem. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, you, Rabbi Yoshua, Rabbi Yehudim Nebeseru, who testified about the Alman Asisa, we accept your edus, your testimony. We believe that what you heard is a correct tradition about the Alman Asisa, that she's Kesher L'Kuhuna. Avalmana said, but what can we do? Shegaza, Rabbi Yocham and Zakai, Shalola Hoshiv Bate Dinin Malkach. Rabbi Yocham and Zakai already made a gzeira, a decree, that we don't have Bate Dinim sit for this purpose, which means we don't have Bate Dinim who will permit an Almanas Isa to marry a Kohen, because we have to be concerned that she's a Chalala, because there was a Suffolk Chalala in the family, and she therefore should not marry a Kohen at all. If she did, though, we assume that she could stay married to him, because according to Halacha, she really can, but with strict not to allow it, L'chatchila. And the Mishnah then says, HaKohanim Shomim Lachem L'Racheik, if the Beis Din will now rule that these women are in fact not permitted to marry Kohanim, so then the Kohanim are going to listen to you because they're going to be strict, like we say they should be strict. Avalo the Karev. But if you're going to permit with these women, the Almanas is to marry Kohanim, the Kohanim are not going to listen. They're not going to be willing to marry these women because they're going to be strict based on, even though, yes, it's true, Rabbi Gamliel agrees that this is a Svek Sveka, and really this Almana should be able to marry, where there's a Suffolk Kollel, a double Suffolk Kollel in the family, she cat should be able to marry a Kohen. Nonetheless, Mala Asub Yusin was strict when it comes to lineage, and in this regard, Kohanim are going to stay away from an Almanas Isa. Paraches Mishra Dalid, Heid Rabbi Yossi Ben Yoezer Ish Tsreda Al Ayal Kamsa Dachan. Number one, what did Rabbi Yossi Ben Yoezer testify about? We have him as part of the Zugos, and Pirkei Avos is mentioned. He testified that an ayal kamsa, ayal is the Aramaic word for chagav, for grasshopper, for locust, and we know that several of them are tahor, which means that they're kosher. So he said the ayal kamsa, the chagav, that's called ayal, that is, it looks like a heart, like a gazelle, so that's why they called an ayal, but it's really a locust, is dachan, is kosher, it's tahor, it's a kosher, it's a one of the kosher locusts. So that's something that he testified about. Why was that so? So based on the fact that if you look in the Torah and they give you a list of locusts, so one of them is salam. Salam there is the according to one opinion, assumes that salam is there to include grasshoppers that have a head that's elongated somewhat. Generally, the grasshoppers, we assume the heads are like circular, are not so long. So the word salam is there, according to one opinion, to include even other grasshoppers, other chagavim that have an elongated head. And in fact, the ayal kamsa has one, and therefore that is included, and it is a kosher chagav. According to other opinion, in Chazal, no, we have a drasha. And the drasha special klaru prado klal means that it has to follow the list that we have. And the list that we have are all grasshoppers that have a circular head, not an elongated head, and therefore this should not be included. But Rabbi Yosef Miozer testified that this, in fact, is included in one of the kosher locusts. Va'al mashke beis mitbechayo de'inodachin. Another halacha regarding tahara, tumah v'tahara. He said that the liquids in the beis mitbechayo, which is literally the butchering place in the Azara, this was right opposite the northern wall of the Mizbeach, and that's where they, in the Tzafon, we read this in Ezum Mekomot, that's where they did the shechting of the animals, of the karbanos. They also, they flayed them, they skinned them in that place as well. And that area had to be washed. That's where the rings of the animal that they had, where they put the head of the animal, so it wouldn't move around. So he said, if you have mashkim in that area, those mashkim are going to be tar. What does it mean they're going to be tar? So it's saying, let's say if there's blood in that area that may have come out from the karbanos, or there's water that they used to wash there, they're considered tahor and not subject to the laws of tuma of liquids, which we normally have. Now, why were these exempt? And what does it mean that liquids in general are going to be tamei? So this is a machlokas you have in the Gemara between Rav and Shmuel. According to Rav, generally, when it comes to liquids, midoraisa are not subject to tumah at all. It's only midorabanan. So since we don't want to have too much tumah in our Beis HaMikdash, the karbanos around it, the Chachamim said, we have a right to exempt these liquids, the blood and the water, from this gezerah, and it wouldn't be included in the general tumah of beverages. According to Shmuel, though, midoraisa, no, liquids are tamei midoraisa. So we can't have Rabbi Yosef ben Yosef testifying in the names of the Chachamim that it's possible that the mashka based mitzchaya are completely tor. How could that be? So the answer is, no, they really are tameh, but it means they can't be mitameh. The liquids in general may be tameh, but it can't be mitameh, transmit to other things. So this was the leniency that he's testifying about, that the mashka, the water and the blood in the basement mitzchaya, in the butchering area of the Beis HaMikdash, the Azar in the north, are going to be, they may be tameh, but they can't be, they're tahor in the sense that they can't be Mitami other things. That is a machlokas Rav and Shmuel. Then finally he testified, Udi Yikrav b'misa mista'av. Anyone who touched a misa mace, a corpse, is tummy. What does that mean? Shouldn't we know that? No. It means this: if you definitely touch a corpse, you're going to be tummy. But if you're not sure, so then we can follow the rules. Safek tuma b'rishus harabim sveiko tahor, which we've mentioned. The safek and tuma b'rishus harabim. B'rishus harabim, remember, for this purpose, is at least three people are found there. So then we have the right to be lenient. That's what he means. That when it comes to Tumas Mace, so Suffolk Tumas Mace, even though Tumas Mace is Chomor, we have the right to be Tahor. And certainly, if let's say Tumas Sheretz, you have a Suffolk, you have the right to be, we have the right to be lenient. And then, so after these three statements about Tumah Vatara, which in all three cases, the grasshopper, he said it's Tahor, which means Tahor means it's kosher. They have to do with Tumah Vatara as well. The Mashka Beis Betchai, the beverages in the butchering section of the Beis HaMikdash are Tahor. And a person who touches a dead body, if it's a suffake, he's going to be tahor. Only if it's a vadai that he touched, only if it's certain, is he tahor. So you know what it says? V'karule Yose Sharya. They called him Yosi, the permitter, the one who permits things. Bar Tanura says, why? Lefisha hitur shlosha devarim shirinogam edu by Nesar. Came to it with three areas of halacha where people normally were strict and said they're usher. He permitted all three things. That's why they called him Yosi Shari, only because it was three. Shakol based in Shematir Shloshu Devarim, says the Bar Tanura. Any based in that permits three things, She'ein Aheter Shelahin Pashut, where their permissibility is not so simple, obviously in these cases, Karulei Beidin Shari, they call it a permit, a based in that permits things.